Pride has transformed into a globally recognized month to celebrate the LGBTQ+ community. While the US is now more progressive than it has been in the past, it's certainly not all rainbows for LGBTQ+ Americans. According to the Human Rights Campaign, 17 pieces of anti-LGBTQ+ state legislation have been passed in 2021, surpassing the record of 15 that was set in 2015, during the year gay marriage was legalized. That makes this year's state legislative record the most anti-LGBTQ+ in recent history. Carlos Villapudua, an electrical engineering and advertising senior, spoke about the anti-queer legislation as part of a broader culture war.
So I think historically, and especially this last year, the struggle for Black liberation has empowered a lot of other people to fight for the rights that they deserve because they exist. And so one of those groups I think that also benefits from Black liberation is the LGBTQ+ community, and there are intersecting identities as well. But with that being said, when people are fighting more for what they deserve as humans, there's also another side to that. There's the backlash that you'll get from people who, enact this hateful legislation, because to them, you existing, because of their privilege, you existing is a threat to them. And so they put this legislation as backlash.
As conservative states push back against the more pro-LGBTQ+ Biden administration, federal policy continues to become more inclusive. On June 16th, the Education Department said it would broaden its interpretation of Title IX, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex, to include protections for transgender and gay students. The move is in line with last year's Supreme Court decision to interpret sex as sexual orientation and gender identity.
It stated that you can be discriminated on based on your sexual orientation or gender identity because that has, it pertains to sex. And so I think that's how they, made that connection for Title IX. But obviously that's something that should have been done a long time ago. But it makes sense when you start to think about the way that the U.S. started and continues to function. It was never meant to include people who exist outside of cisgenderness, I guess if that's the word, or who exist outside of the binary as well, and or exist outside of the binary. And so I think it's definitely about time that that was done.
Numerous anti-LGBTQ+ bills were introduced this year across the country, including some in Texas that took aim at the trans community and trans youth. Senate Bill 29, which would have banned trans athletes from competing in sports with those of their preferred gender identity, was one such bill. Adrian Hunter, the co-director of the Queer and Trans Student Alliance at UT, gave their thoughts on the legislation.
There is no basis for these claims, and it is solely a form of bigotry and a way to attack trans folks and essentially a power grab. There's no scientific basis. There is no real-world basis whatsoever.
Senior government major Hector Mendez was working at the Capitol for Texas State Representative Art Fierro as a communications aide. Mendez said he received many concerns about SB 29 from constituents.
We got a lot of calls from concerned parents about this bill. Their concerns had to do mainly with how it would affect trans athletes competing in sports going forward. It doesn't feel conforming to them. They feel out of place because they don't identify with that gender anymore, and being forced to compete in those sports, it just doesn't sit right with them.
Another bill that targeted the trans community was Senate Bill 1311, which would prohibit doctors from providing gender-affirming care, including transition surgery and hormone therapy.
Yeah, it is very ridiculous. There's no scientific basis for any of these, and they're, of course, super dangerous because trans-related healthcare, especially for youth, is very essential because restrictions like this bill will, very, very almost certainly lead to harm being caused towards the trans community. So it is really dangerous.
According to NBC News, research has shown that trans youth receiving gender-affirming care lowers their risk of suicide, which the trans community has high rates of. Mendez said this was another concern for parents.
One thing I remember a constituent did mention to me was more funding for mental health and therapy for LGBTQ plus youth. Because of the rate, the suicide for them is so high, I was told that they need to have better investments in mental health services in order to accommodate them and make them feel better.
I think it just really needs to be understood that transition-related healthcare is not something that is, it's not a joke. Like, I have family who do not understand it, and they see transition-related healthcare as extra expense, as something that I'm wasting my money on. And this is something I have to do on my own. And it isn't that case. It is an essential for so many people, especially so many youth. And I think it needs to be understood that access to these things is essential, and access to these resources is essential, especially for trans youth as a really vulnerable community.
Mendes said these types of harmful legislation come from a place of hate.
I think the real reason they were mostly brought up this year is because Republicans, they hate trans people. I'll be honest with you. They do not think that these people are valid. I've heard a lot of Republicans say that they have like mental illnesses, or they have gender dysmorphia or whatnot. I mean, these are real people.
That's why Mendes says it's important to call your legislators.
As someone who ended up working on the other side, like being the person to receive this call and hearing from my colleagues in other offices, it does make a difference if a representative gets enough worries and concerns from people calling, especially if they're constituents.
For Daily Texan Podcasts, I'm Michaela Mondragon.